Amen. Amen. Well, take your Bible, please. Find Joshua chapter 14. Joshua 14. And thank you for that. Those very kind thoughts and that beautiful singing. And indeed, it's so good to be with you here today. Of course, the past two Sundays, I've been elsewhere. Appreciate your prayers. Last Sunday, I was actually preaching at one of our other Southern Baptist churches here in Virginia that really made a special request. And I had preached for them the first two Sundays after their long-tenured pastor had resigned and kind of semi-retired from their church. And so this Sunday is their new pastor's first Sunday. So they asked me to come last week, and they said, listen, we really, really would like you to come and preach the Sunday before he comes. And so his family was actually there and had a chance to meet them. So it just reminds us that we're part of not just this family, but a larger family. And then the Sunday before that, I had the privilege of preaching at a church in the same city as where I went to college, in Harrisonburg, near James Madison University, and was preaching there. And this church did not exist when I went to college. And part of that's because, you know, I went to college, you know, in a previous century. So anyway, but it was very much kind of just a wonderful experience to get to preach at a church that in many ways I wish had existed when I used to live there. And just a reminder of God's faithfulness and how God continues to move among us. But so blessed to be back here today. And of course, we're gearing up for a very big week that will kick off next Sunday. And that is Vacation Bible School, which in this church is an all-hands-on-deck week. And so next Sunday morning and Sunday night and through the evenings of next week, you'll have just a marvelous time. So I want to encourage your prayers. Many of you are volunteering. If you're serving, thank you for that. Let's be inviting family and friends and neighbors. It's a great, great opportunity for us to reach out to folks in the city, community, wherever you live, folks that you know. Invite them to come be a part. There's going to be opportunities for children and youth and adults, even classes for adults. If you're not already serving, you can come and be a part of that. And that's one way you can serve, by inviting folks to come with you, and they can attend with you as your friend and as your acquaintance and as your neighbor. So invite you to really very much keep this in your prayers, keep this before you. Of course, summer has been a very busy time for children and youth in this church already. I guess it was about 2 weeks ago now, I was down on the Virginia Peninsula and was able to visit and see a few of our students, and Joe and George, as they were down there with a group. They were ministering in Newport News, which is the city where I was raised. And my parents and my brother and his family still live in Newport News. And I was able to go and see some of the ministry projects that churches in Virginia were doing there during that Youth Missions Week. So our children and youth have already had a very busy summer. And I know, of course, a lot of folks are traveling. And already, as Brother Marty has prayed, we, of course, still want to be very vigilant in our prayers for one another. You know, pain and suffering and heartache does not take a vacation in the summer. Amen. It doesn't. And we know we have ongoing duties there to love and care for one another. And so I just want to keep that before us. And so just praise the Lord for your faithfulness and your continued service to the Lord this summer. Well, Joshua 14. Why do we come to this particular chapter? Joshua is a fairly lengthy book, and of course we've looked at a few chapters thus far in this sermon series. But today I want to talk about this chapter. I want us to study this chapter because it's really a chapter for us to come to terms with. And for me, this being a unique day in my life, I'm drawn to Caleb. And so I want to ask you just to stand with me in honor of God's word, if you would. Let's stand together. I want you to see this. Now, before we read in 14, look, just turn the page back to Joshua 13. Look at Joshua 13, verse 1. All right, I just want to point this out to you. Look at what it says here. It says, the Bible says, now Joshua was old and advanced in years, and the Lord said to him, you are old. Do you see that? Now, let me tell you something. Now, as you've already acknowledged, and I deeply appreciate it, this is my 45th birthday today, all right? Now, let me just point something out. When God calls you old, friend, you're old. You know? Because, I mean, God is old. God is ageless, right? I mean, God is as old as the ages. I mean, he's timeless. And God actually calls Joshua old here. So if you're feeling old today, I just pray maybe that'll encourage us right there, you know? And then you look over at Joshua 14. We come to Caleb. And Caleb is Joshua's only other contemporary. Remember the background here? Joshua and Caleb were going to be the only two of their generation allowed to live this long and allowed to actually go into the promised land, all right? And listen to this conversation that takes place here, starting in verse 6 of chapter 14. Then the people of Judah came to Joshua at Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. Now let's just stop right there. He is the son of Jephunneh. Do you see? Now listen, Caleb must have been a cool dude to have grown up his whole life and now lived this long, known as the son of Jephunneh. I'm just saying, folks, all right? I mean, that right there, that's quite a last name, all right? And Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, "You know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, in Kadesh Barnea concerning you and me. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought him word again as it was in my heart. But my brothers who went up with me made the heart of the people melt." And then look at this phrase. "Yet I wholly followed the Lord my God." I wholly, totally, wholeheartedly, devotedly followed the Lord my God. Verse 9. "And Moses swore on that day, saying, 'Surely the land on which your foot is trodden shall be an inheritance for you and your children forever, because,'" here it is again, "'you have wholly followed the Lord my God. And now behold, the Lord has kept me alive just as he said, these 45 years since the time that the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel walked in the wilderness. And now behold," listen to this, "I am this day 85 years old." Many commentators will speculate that this may have actually been Caleb's 85th birthday. Now, I don't know if he was just talking about it kind of generally speaking, "Hey, behold this day, you know, like on this day and for the next 365 days, I'll be 45. No, or it's like, "Hey, this day I am now this age." I find it amazing. Here, listen, this man is 85 years old. And now listen to what he says in verse 11. "I am still as strong today as I was in the day that Moses sent me. My strength now is as my strength was then, for war and for going and for coming." Isn't that an amazing statement right there? He's now 85 years old and he's saying, "Listen, I'm just as strong today as I was when I was 40. That's something to say right there, isn't it? Verse 12. "So now, give me this hill country of which the Lord spoke on that day. For you heard on that day how the Anakim were there with great fortified cities. It may be that the Lord will be with me and I shall drive them out just as the Lord said." And then Joshua blessed him. Joshua blessed him and gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, for an inheritance. Therefore, Hebron became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, to this day. Because what, church? He wholly followed the Lord, the God of Israel. Now, the name of Hebron formerly was Kiriath Arba. Arba was the greatest man among the Anakim, and the land had rest from war. What an amazing, amazing scripture to study in light of Caleb's life. So today we're going to talk about how to thrive at 85, or 45, or whatever age you happen to be. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. And Lord, thank you for the life, the testimony of Caleb. But even more than that, thank you, God, for the power, the grace that you exhibited in the life of Caleb. Praise you, Lord, for the strength that you gave Caleb. Lord, we're not here just to magnify the life of Caleb. We're here to look at his example, Lord, because Caleb, no doubt, the key to his life is that he wholly followed the Lord. He followed you, Lord. He knew you personally, followed you in a very personal way, and experienced your power in his life. So God, I pray today that you'll help us to see that's how we thrive. That's how we thrive, whether we're 85, 45, or 25, or 15, or 5, however old we are, Lord. So God, I pray you'll speak to us this day. Lord, help us. Help us not just to get older. Help us to grow stronger in you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you and be seated. Well, you know, I wrote down a few things in recognition and admission of this being a birthday. And, you know, I've heard aging described this way. Let me see if you can identify with this. If you're younger than 10, you use fractions. You say things like, I'm 4 1/2. I'm 5 1/2. People never say I'm 37 1/2. They don't ever do that. Teenagers, this is how people, how teenagers talk about years. They skip years. They say things like, I've got a 15-year-old. She says things like this, I'm going to be 16. People never say, hey, I'm going to be 40. They just don't do that. 21. When a person turns 20, 21, just look, 21. That sounds like a ceremony, doesn't it? 21. I mean, that's like, you'll get t-shirts made that say that. I'm 21, you know, and it's like, that's a big deal. People never get t-shirts that say 51. 51. That doesn't have the same. Then you turn 30, like milk. Turning bad. Turn 30. It's like bad milk. Then you're pushing 40. You're pushing 40. Then you reach 50. Then you make it to 60. Then you hit 70. Can I get a witness? And then 80, it's just day to day. You hit Wednesday. You hit 4:30. You make it to bedtime. At 90, they say people will do, they'll go backwards. I was 93. But then listen, if a person makes it to 100, it's like they become a kid again. They'll say things like, I'm 100 1/2. Folks, it's just amazing how we in this life try to come to terms with aging. You know, here's some signs I came across of that I'm getting old. And I find myself beginning to say some things like this. You know you're getting old when you say things like, you know, it wasn't like that back in my day. Have you ever said something like that? You start thinking that policemen and doctors and teachers are all of a sudden a lot younger than they used to be. Have you ever noticed that? Remember a couple years ago, a coworker of mine, he was having a major heart surgery in Charlotte. So a couple of us went down there to support him and his wife. And I remember I was in there in the pre-op room visiting with him, going to have prayer with him. And all of a sudden, this team of they happen to be all ladies, they come into his room. And they're examining him, and they're going through the pre-operation checklist. And after they left, I looked at him, I said, who on earth brought the youth group to the operating room? I mean, I'm telling you, man, it just hit me like a ton of bricks. It was like, these folks, they looked so incredibly young. Car insurance seems cheaper. But life insurance all of a sudden seems a lot more expensive. You know you're getting older. You turn the lights off for economic reasons, not romantic reasons. You're losing the hair on your head, but starting to sprout it almost everywhere else. Especially your nose, your ears. This is even worse if you happen to be a lady, but anyways. You find out now you're not as smart as your smartphone. You have to get your children or grandchildren to help you use your own telephone. You can no longer operate the television independently. You need your 9-year-old to help. Your children's bedtime is now later than your bedtime. That's a sign you're getting older. Your knowledge of current movies may be limited to simply Disney new releases. You know you're getting a little older. You remember when hoodies, you ever heard of hoodies? Well, you remember when they were called sweatshirts. They used to be called sweatshirts. And then you think retirement homes in Florida, well, they sound like fun now. That's how you know you're growing older. Well, listen, what you see in the life of Caleb here, ladies and gentlemen, is a man who did not just get older, but he obviously had been growing stronger and stronger. You don't see Caleb finding a rocking chair and just kicking back, taking it easy. And this is the kind of attitude and determination that I want to highlight for us today, because I think Caleb offers us some wonderful characteristics to describe us as growing stronger as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now remember, Joshua in some respects can represent for us the Lord Jesus. Joshua is the commander of the people. In fact, the name Joshua is the Hebrew counterpart of the New Testament name Jesus. And Joshua is going to be leading the people of God into the promised land. And understand, the promised land is not a picture of heaven, because the promised land still had giants in it, right? There were still going to be some battles to be waged in the promised land. There's no battles to be waged in heaven. The promised land is a picture of the victorious Christian life. You see, in my Christian life, I enjoy all of God's promises, but there are still battles that I have to wage. I have to battle my flesh. I'm going to have to do battle with the world. I'm going to have to overcome things in my life. And so Joshua kind of represents the Lord Jesus as our commander. And Caleb, let me tell you who Caleb represents. Caleb represents you and me. Caleb represents the victorious follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. So today I want you to see some characteristics in his life, because see, Caleb was different. How do I know he was different? Am I making up? No, listen, the Bible says this about Caleb. In Numbers, the Old Testament book of Numbers, just write the reference down, you don't have to look it up. Numbers 14, verse 24. The Bible says that the Lord said this about Caleb. He said, the Lord says this about Caleb. He says, you have a different spirit. You have a different spirit. That's what God says about Caleb. God describes Caleb as one who actually has a different spirit. Different than who? Different than the other people. And you see, in this life, for me to thrive as a follower of Christ, in many respects, I'm going to need to develop a different spirit about me, some different characteristics than a lot of other people that happen to be around me. And that's what I'm going to highlight. That's what I want us to see in this scripture passage today. And you can just mark it down like this. We're going to note five characteristics about Caleb that I think apply to our lives, that are five characteristics that will help us to thrive in our walk with the Lord. Because here's the point. Don't just get older. Grow stronger. Don't just get older, but grow stronger in your walk with the Lord. So, let's look at the scripture again. Look at verse 6 again with me. That says, then the people of Judah came to Joshua at Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, you know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, in Kadesh Barnea concerning you and me. In Kadesh Barnea, remember, that was where Caleb and Joshua and 10 others were sent out to be spies. They were going to go into the promised land. They were going to inspect it and check it out and bring back a report. And Joshua and Caleb are the two that come back. And they actually say, listen, with God's help and God's strength, let's go into this promised land. God is with us. We can take the promised land and be victorious and be overcomers. But there's 10 out of the 12. The majority say, no way. No way. So when you go back and you read in Numbers 13 and Numbers chapter 14, you read here that then part of the judgment of God upon the people of God is that really it comes down to this. Joshua and Caleb, you're going to be the ones that get to go in the promised land. The rest of your generation is going to die on this side of the river. You see, there's something that's different about Caleb. And here's what the Bible says. Verse 7 says, I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought him word again as it was in my heart. And here Caleb's remembering this. In verse 8 he says, I brought him word again as in my heart. Verse 8, but my brothers who went up with me, they made the heart of the people melt. Yet here's what's different. Yet I wholly followed the Lord my God. Here's the first characteristic. It's simply this. Be committed. Be committed. You see, we're either committed or we're not. You see, what we will tend to do sometimes is we want to play this game where we'll have some version that we've conjured up of saying, this is my commitment to the Lord, but it's half-hearted. And you see, half-hearted commitment to the Lord is faint-hearted commitment to the Lord, and it's not whole-hearted commitment to the Lord. And the Lord wants from us whole-hearted commitment. Caleb is committed. It's interesting. When you look at the background on Caleb's name, just his name. In the Hebrew language, it can appear that Caleb's name actually could have been translated dog. D-O-G, dog. Now, there's some understanding that his name wasn't, that it didn't mean dog, that it meant someone who follows with his whole heart. But I want you to think about this, because this is a pretty interesting analogy here. Caleb, if let's say Caleb's name means dog. Here's what hit me when I was studying this. What hit me was what we call dogs. What do we call dogs? We call dogs man's best friend, right? There's something about dogs. Dogs tend to be so loyal. Now listen, here's full disclosure. In my family, we don't own a dog, nor do we own a cat, okay? We don't own either one, all right? And part is because we have some allergies and all that kind of stuff going on. But we don't own either one. Now I know, whenever I'm in a crowd of this size, man, if I was just in a group of two or three of you, I know I run the risk. There's some people, they're dog people. And then there's people that are cat people. You know what I'm talking about? Now, there's some people that are probably dog and cat people, all right? Like my grandparents, they seem to kind of be both. But I think they kind of leaned more towards being cat people. Now, this is just my theory. I think that if I were going to go one way or the other, and I know I'm going to run the risk of probably splitting the church right down the middle right here, okay? But I just want to be honest with you. I've always been honest with you. Here's the deal. I think I'd probably be a dog person. There's just something about cats. I know some of y'all love cats so much, and this is just going to seem like I'm picking on them and everything. But, you know, cats, it's kind of cats always strike me as having kind of this attitude, like, what have you done for me lately? You know, like cats, you know, like you don't see many people. I've never seen this happen. Well, people go, come here, kitty cat, come here, you know, and you don't walk cats. This is usually what I see in my neighborhood. Like, cats are kind of, they're just kind of wandering around, you know. Hey, you got any milk for me today or anything? I'm going to do you a favor. Why don't you come over here? It's going to make your day. Why don't you rub my back? Go ahead and rub it. I know. Feels good, doesn't it? Feels good to you. Now, dogs aren't like that at all, are they? I mean, most dogs strike me like this, as you know, they're like, what can I do for you? You want your shoes? You're going to give me some water today? Well, you are wonderful. And you see, what I picture with Caleb is this marvelous picture of Caleb. Caleb's heart's desire is to be the best friend of God. And it's interesting, we'll refer to dogs as man's best friend. Listen, Caleb is referred to in the Bible as one of God's best friends, wholeheartedly. He just follows God like a dog. He just loves his master. It's interesting, in some translations, they actually translate this verse, when it says, "Holy, follow the Lord my God," they translate it as Caleb being loyal. They use the word loyal. And I love that picture. It reminds me of my family. Just the other week, over July 4th, we went and saw this movie. And I won't ruin the movie for you. And I don't really endorse movies. But it's about this dog named Max. And it's about this, he's this U.S. Marine dog. Like I said, if you go to see it, I don't want to steal the plot for you. But the bottom line is this, it's this marvelous picture of this Marine dog who is loyal to his master. Loyal to his master. In fact, June 2014, National Geographic cover story was Hero Dogs, a Soldier's Best Friend. The National Geographic ran a whole story, cover page story, on what they call Hero Dogs, a Soldier's Best Friend. They're called MWDs, MWDs, Military Working Dogs. And there's stories and history of how, especially since World War II, and now actively in places like Afghanistan, still today in Iraq, you know, these dogs would be paired up with a military handler, and they would be the ones that would go out in front of our troops to sniff out and to see where there might be some of these explosives and weapons and mines buried that could harm our troops. But in the movie, it's just this picture of the loyalty of this dog. And when you think of Caleb, I want you to think of Caleb as being absolutely loyal Never wanted to leave God's side. His life's ambition was just to please God, to honor God, to serve his master. Caleb is committed. And if you get nothing else out of today's message, just remember this about Caleb. He's absolutely committed, wholeheartedly following God. It's said of the great evangelist, the layman Dwight L. Moody, D.L. Moody, who has the church that he started and named for him in Chicago. I've actually been in this massive cathedral in Chicago. It seats 5,000 plus, built back in the day when no church building was ever that large. And there at Moody Church, you can go in and it's really just a lot of history there in Chicago of Moody's ministry. But when D.L. Moody, who had been a shoe clerk, was over in Great Britain ministering and preaching, he heard an evangelist who said this. This evangelist said, quote, "The world is yet to see what God can do in and through and with and for a man wholly committed to him." And it said that Moody, when he heard that, said, "By the grace of God, I will be that man. I will be a man who is holy, who seeks to be wholly devoted to God." And they say that it was very much upon that surrender to God that Moody's ministry and his life and his testimony went to even greater lengths of impact in this world. So bottom line is Caleb is committed. I need to be committed. Committed. The second characteristic you see here in Caleb is what I want to just say, be consistent. It's interesting that when Caleb is said to wholly follow the Lord my God, it's not said that Caleb does that just one time. In fact, every time Caleb is mentioned in the Bible, Caleb is always mentioned as wholly following the Lord. It's mentioned three times just in this chapter. It's mentioned in verse 8, it's mentioned in verse 9, and it's mentioned in verse 14. But when Caleb is mentioned in Numbers chapter 14, it's said of him in verse 24 that he was wholly committed to the Lord. When he's mentioned in Numbers 32 verse 12, it's said the same thing is said of him. And in Deuteronomy chapter 1 verse 36, it is said that he wholly followed the Lord. Listen, when he was 40, it was said that Caleb wholly followed the Lord. Now fast forward 45 years, he's now 85, and they're still saying the same thing about him. Here's something that we can struggle with in our Christian walk with the Lord. We can struggle not just with commitment, we can struggle with consistency. Amen? We struggle with being consistent. That's why I want to uphold for you the example of Caleb. I also think about the example of Daniel. In Daniel, Daniel chapter 6, verse 10, it says, when Daniel knew the document had been signed, and that was a document where the king was going to prohibit Daniel's worship of the Lord. He was going to prohibit his exercise of his religion. It says that Daniel went to his house where he had windows in his upper chamber open toward Jerusalem. And the Bible says he got down on his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he had done previously. That's what it says about Daniel. You see, what I will tend to do sometimes is when life comes crashing in on me. For instance, the Supreme Court ruling came down. That Friday, that Saturday, we were writing documents, working on things. Churches and pastors were contacting us. What are some advice? What's some encouragement? How should we respond? Okay, you know, man, everybody's ramped up. We're praying about this. We're worked up about this. And you know what we'll do sometimes is we'll kind of have these kind of spikes in our spirituality. We get that phone call. But Daniel and Caleb are examples of people who didn't wait for the knock at the door or a phone call to cause a spike in their spirituality. The Bible says that he just went and prayed, went before the Lord and gave him thanks as he had done previously. You see, there's a lot of strength in consistency. There's a lot of strength in consistency. A.W. Tozer said, "God can be known satisfactorily only as we devote time to him." You see, my grass in my yard is looking greener now than it was a few weeks ago. Why? Because we've been getting some consistent rain where I live. That's why Jesus said this in John 15:4, "Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me." You see, one of the keys to growing stronger physically and staying in shape physically is to have consistent exercise, to consistently eat right, to exercise consistently. So mark it down that Caleb is committed, but he's also consistent. Galatians 6:9 tells us to not grow weary in doing good. Now here's something I want to encourage you with. You say, well, Brian, I struggle with being consistent. I do too. I have friends, I know people, man, they're like consistent. They're like every morning they're jogging at 5 a.m. Every morning they're having their quiet time at 4:30 a.m. or 5 a.m. and they're just consistent, consistent, consistent. I struggle sometimes being consistent. So here's what a friend of mine encouraged me with. He said, here's the thing. If you struggle with being consistent, just be persistent. I wrote that down. That's a little play on words. I don't encourage you. You'll probably remember that. Listen, when I struggle being consistent, it's important that I stay persistent until I become consistent. Because here's the thing. You know, listen. So what do? I've got to stay persistent in going over there and exercising at the gym. I've got to stay persistent in seeking the Lord and reading the scripture and praying to him and seeking fellowship and strengthening my soul. So here's the deal. When I struggle with being consistent, stay persistent. Consistency. Consistency. When you struggle to be consistent, be persistent until you are consistent. Here's the third characteristic. Not only is he committed, he's consistent, but he's confident. He's confident. Look at verse 10 and 11. The Bible says, and now behold, this is Caleb speaking. Now behold, the Lord has kept me alive. And underline this, just as he said, these 45 years since the time that the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel walked in the wilderness. Now listen, Caleb, imagine what he'd gone through for 45 years. Everybody Caleb went to school with died before they got to go to Promised Land. Just think about over four decades, Caleb had to just keep eating manna. And he'd seen what was on the other side. Now, folks, like I said, that's commitment. That's consistency. But there was something that had gripped his heart. He was confident. The Bible says, just as he said. Caleb has an amazing confidence that God will keep his word. And it has been over 45 years since God gave him the promise. Let me ask you a question. Are you confident? Are you confident in God's word and God's promises? Deuteronomy chapter 1. Just write that down. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 34. And the Lord heard your words, and was angered, and he swore, not one of these men of this evil generation shall see the good land that I swore to give your fathers, except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. He shall see it, and to him and to his children I will give the land on which he has trodden, because he has wholly followed the Lord. That's all the way back in Deuteronomy chapter 1. The end of Deuteronomy is where it records that Moses dies. Caleb, over four decades later, is still counting on God keeping his promise. You know, it says here that Caleb says that he wants, in verse 12, now give me this hill country. Caleb says, listen, I'm 85 years old, but I'm ready to climb that mountain. You know, you think about mountain climbing. Mountain climbing takes confidence. In fact, I was doing a little research on this. And they say that when people are going across tough terrain, and they're hiking, what they will often do is the experienced climber and hiker will tie a rope from himself to the less experienced hiker. And listen to what the rope's called. It's called a confidence rope. And it's meant to help the inexperienced hiker to have the confidence along the journey. You know what one of the beauties of Vacation Bible School, this just occurs to me, one of the beauties of Vacation Bible School is this, is there's a whole lot of folks in here, you've seen this world go through some things. You've seen this country wrestle through some things. And here's the thing is, you know, Vacation Bible School is an awesome opportunity for one generation to tell the next generation, you know what, you stay confident in God's word. You stay confident in God's promises. Here, we're going to tie a rope from me. I'm going to tie a rope to you. And we're going to stay confident in God's word. Confidence. And then it's interesting. He has this confidence in God's word. Let me just read a few verses here. Romans 10:17. So then faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. That's Romans 10:17. 2 Timothy 3:16. All scriptures breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. Read Psalm 19. Read Psalm 119. These are chapters in the Bible that remind us to have our confidence in the word of God. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13, if we are faithless, he remains faithful, for God cannot deny himself. Numbers 23:19 says, God is not man that he should lie, or son of man that he should change his mind. Has he said and will he not do it? Or has he spoken and will he not fulfill it? Oh, let's be confident. Here's some characteristics. Be committed. Be consistent. And be confident. And here's what it leads to. It leads to Caleb being courageous. Be courageous. And this is what you see in him. He says in verse 11, I'm as strong today as I was in the day that Moses sent me. My strength now is as my strength was then. For war and for going and for coming. Now give me this hill country of which the Lord spoke on that day. For you heard on that day how the Anakim were there with great fortified cities. But listen to this. It may be that the Lord will be with me and I shall drive them out just as the Lord said. You see, he has this commitment. He's consistent. It leads to his confidence. And now it reveals itself as courage. And that's what I need in my life for me to be able to thrive as a follower of God and thrive in my walk with God. But so often what happens is we fear these giants that are out there and we start thinking like we're grasshoppers. That's what you read in Numbers 13 and 14 if you want to read about the background on when 10 out of the 12 said, oh, we can't go there. Listen, people can get this complex, this grasshopper complex. And it seemed that they had just forgotten or taken their eyes off the greatness of God. And Caleb says, the Lord is with us. Don't forget, the Lord is with us, church. God is on his throne. Like I said the other week, and I hated not being able to be here that Sunday after that Supreme Court ruling, and I just was trusting the Lord was going to have, you know, with Brother Steve being here and Brother Joe preaching, those dear brothers preaching, I knew you were going to be in God's hand because it's not my word, it's God's word anyway. And here's the deal. What I would want to encourage us with is this, is listen. We don't have to wait on a decision or an opinion of the Supreme Court when it comes down to the reality that Jesus is just as alive today as he was last year. Amen? We don't have to wait on a decision when we see these different giants. But it's interesting, these giants. These giants had caused great concern and the majority trembled. You see, here was the problem with the 10 of the 12 spies, 10 of them, the majority. They had great giants, but they had a little God. Joshua and Caleb, they had a great God, and so the giants looked little. So folks, today, find your courage in the Lord. When you're confident in his word, it builds your courage. When you're consistent in your walk, it builds your courage. When you're committed to him, it builds your courage. The other thing that I just want to note here is it's not just grasshoppers and giants that can cause us concern, but it's gray hairs that can cause us concern. It's not lost on me right here. It's right here that Caleb decides to interject, hey, listen, today I'm 85, all right? And no doubt, remember, he's looking. There's no one else left in his Sunday school class. He's it, except for Joshua, but Joshua's probably doing other things. You know what I mean? Joshua's busy. He's out there. But it's Caleb sitting there, right? Everybody else he's looking at is 20 years or younger than him, generationally speaking. But does he say, listen, y'all, I'm tired, I'm wore out, I'm 85 years old. Won't y'all think I'm going to sit in this chair when it comes time? Why don't y'all just carry me in the promised land? No, he says, I'm just as strong. I'm raring to go. Give me that mountain. He was lacing his tennis shoes up, folks. He had his hiking boots on. He's putting ropes on. He's getting his gear. He's loading up. Probably looking at some of the other guys going, come on, guys, strap up. Got to strap up. It's time to go. I've been over there. Strap up. Here's the thing I want to tell you. Don't understand this. You know, we live in a country, and I understand this, you know, where we save for retirement. I have retirement accounts. I'm saving towards retirement. But it has been rightly said that when it comes to being a follower of Christ and a servant of God, you don't retire. You ought to refire. I, you know, tell you, one of the things that gives me great hope is this, is the opportunity that many people will have because they're able to, they've invested, maybe a house is paid for. And I know living on a fixed income, I no doubt would have its challenges. But here's the thing, just think. Just think as an older generation what you have to invest in a newer generation. Oh, you say, maybe it's not the grasshoppers, maybe it's not the giants, maybe it's the gray hair that kind of bothers you sometimes. Have courage. Billy Graham said, courage is contagious. When a brave man takes a stand, the spines of others are stiffened. It'll start with one of you, folks. It'll start with one of you that has the courage to say, this is how we're going to fight the fight. This is how we're going to keep the faith. It starts with one. It starts with one saying, listen, how about this? Why don't we go serve over here? Hey, how about this? Why don't we go minister over here? Hey, how about this? That's how it starts. When I was involved in planning a church, it started with one lady. It started with one lady. My family and I, we were there. We were committed. But it was one lady. It was an older lady. It was an older lady who got up and she walked forward and she came and she said, God's calling me to be a part of planting this church. She was in her 60s. She would die from cancer 3 years later. I would do a funeral. But you know what? For those 3 years, she ministered and she was faithful and she encouraged me and my wife. We still have fond memories of her holding our brand newborn son and looking after our 2-year-old daughter as we were working so hard to try to get this church planted. It was a senior adult lady who stood up and she said, I'm going to pray with you. I'm going to stand with you. Her husband joined the next week. I'll never forget that. Brother Ken came up. He says, well, I might as well go ahead and get with the program. Beautiful picture of courage. And here's what I want you to see. There's commitment. There's this consistency. There's this confidence. There's this courage. And then it leads to this last characteristic. I call it being victorious. Be victorious. It says in verse 13, Joshua blessed him, gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, for an inheritance. Verse 14, therefore Hebron became the inheritance. That word Hebron. 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 Hebron has significance. Hebron was a place of fellowship for the people of God. You go back and you read about Hebron. Hebron was a place of spiritual significance to God's people. And what you see is you see Caleb say, out of all of this territory, please give me Hebron. He wanted the place of spiritual significance. He says, give me Hebron. Give me fellowship. Loved ones, I want you to know, listen, you want to know what victory is in this life? Victory, number one, is loyalty to God. Loyalty to God. What mattered to Caleb more than anything was his fellowship with the Lord. But then I want you to see this. It says it became the inheritance of Caleb. Caleb was 85. Caleb was not going to actually live in Hebron for very much longer. He wasn't really getting it for himself. He basically had to spend his whole life either in slavery in Egypt or in the wilderness with complaining, disobedient people. But he gets Hebron. The Bible says as an inheritance. You don't get an inheritance for yourself, do you? Who's an inheritance for? An inheritance is for the next generation. I want you to see why Caleb's life was victorious. Because number one, he had loyalty. Number two, he left a legacy. You read in Judges chapter 3. Now, when I think of the book of Judges in the Old Testament, I think of the people of God just in rebellion. I think of bad judges. I think of bad decisions. Over and over again in Judges, it says the people did as was right in their own eyes and disobeyed God. But in Judges chapter 3, you read about a guy named Othniel. And that is Caleb's son-in-law. Because you see, that commitment and that consistency and that confidence and that courage had evidently rubbed off on his daughter. And his daughter, Caleb's daughter, marries this boy. And he's the judge in Judges 3. And for that moment in time, the Bible says the people of God were led again to worship the Lord. You want to know what victory is? Victory is loyalty to God, and victory is leaving a legacy for God. What's your inheritance going to be? What's the inheritance you're going to leave for this next generation? You know, Caleb had this focus. You know, it's been said that great men are never really complicated. They tend to be simple men. Abraham Lincoln, if you really look at him, historically speaking, was a pretty simple man. His life's pursuit in his presidency was ultimately to preserve the Union. You look at people who make their mark in history. George Washington. You look at how they make their mark. Martin Luther. How they make their mark. They're really pretty simple people. They're very focused. Caleb, wholly devoted. He's loyal and he leaves a legacy. You know, I want to ask you a question today. In your notes, in the sermon notes, I've given you three notes I want you to remember. I think they're on the next slide. Go ahead to that next piece there, guys. Look at go on after that. Keep going. Okay, I didn't put them on there. Listen to this. They're on the bottom of your notes. The majority opinion is not necessarily the correct judge of right and wrong. You see that in your notes? I don't think I put that on the slide, bro. The majority opinion is not necessarily the correct judge of right and wrong. Number two, our boldness is based on the faithfulness of God. Our boldness is based on the faithfulness of God. And then it's in your bullets, in your sermon notes. Here's the third one. The older generation must provide for the newer generation, not just materially, but spiritually. Not just materially, but spiritually. I want you to see that. Loved ones, listen, it is important for us this day, as the people of God, to allow Him to examine our commitment. It's a matter of whether or not we'll be wholly, wholly devoted to Him. I want to ask you to stand on your feet and bow your heads with me in prayer. We're going to get ready to sing this closing song of response. And as your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, I want you just to think about this now. I want to ask you just to let the Lord search your heart. Now, maybe you just want to take these five characteristics and kind of write them down in your Bible and keep them before yourself, but it may be God's kind of prompting in your heart and your spirit, getting your attention. Maybe you just need to come. You just want to pray about something. You just want to come before the Lord and talk with Him. But bottom line is this. Let's just say to the Lord, Lord, be my master. I want to stick by your side and be loyal to you forevermore. God, I pray that you'll move among us. If there's any here in the sound of my voice that has never, Lord Jesus, said to you, Lord Jesus, be my master, I pray today they'll come forward and they'll just share with me that, Lord Jesus, they want you to be their master. And God, I pray for others in this church fellowship. Maybe they want to pray for this church. Maybe they just want to pray for how you might use them to serve you and to be a blessing to others. God, move among us, I pray. Thank you, Lord, for the example of Caleb. Help us to thrive at whatever age we are. In Jesus' name, amen. You respond as we sing.